I think I've been it's hard for me to read Miklos, and maybe that's why I blathered too long now, but I apologize for that. Continuing with Chapter 7 of Auschwitz, A Doctor's Eyewitness Account. Then a new phase of the exploitation and utilization of Jewish bodies took place. The Third Reich had already taken their clothes and shoes. Hair was also a precious material, due to the fact that it expands and contracts uniformly, no matter what the humidity of the air. Human hair was often used in delayed action bombs, where its particular qualities made it highly useful for detonating purposes. So they shaved the dead. My interjection. Miklos will sacramentally register, note, the ways they kill. And I have to say, watching him do that really is heartbreaking. The ways they kill, the ways they utilize, make use of, they're alienated, and I'm talking about the Nazis, make use of their alienated brothers and sisters and children, or as Alice Miller might say, their alienated young child selves, the alienated, despised, weak children that they were, that they are. Continuing. But that was not all. According to the slogans the Germans paraded and shouted to everyone at home and abroad, the Third Reich was not based on the gold standard, but on the work standard. Maybe that meant they had to work harder to get their gold than most countries did. At any rate, the dead were next sent to the tooth-pulling commando, which was stationed in front of the ovens. My interjection. The logic of commodification is a species of the logic of rule, illuminated in the faux logic that perfection exists, quote unquote, and may be scientifically quantified, quote unquote, and that only the best, of course, should rule, quote unquote. The Third Reich was not based on the gold standard, but on the work standard, as evidence of how statesmen think. This instance of the logic of rule should not only trouble us, it should long since have spurred us to question and challenge the legitimacy of rank, the legitimacy of rule by statesmen. Auschwitz as a preserved goal is easily inferable from indications we see around us today, if we allow reason and not convention to guide us. As Jeremy Bentham advised, Miklos shows, and the book Red Ink, which as we said during the April 14th show, documents a massive silence, and there's an audio blog of that name, reveals many like instances of this thinking in Chinese rulers. There are obvious conclusions for we commoners to begin drawing as we consider the consequences of resource wars, global economic collapse, as the resources available for power to absorb into its privatization project, which require our hands, shrink, and as the technologies which don't require our hands increase. And recently, this is an additional bit I put in yesterday, I heard a pundit say that all jobs that solely involve transfers or flows of information will go. So, we see there will be only a tiny few proportionally for whom power has use in its misguided striving for knowledge infinite. So our communally created knowledge endowment, created, I would argue, to free us all, that could support universal leisure easily. This endowment in the hands of an infinitesimal few would be used to oppose that universal leisure. For the most pathetic and ignoble of reasons, it would mean they would not be special, quote unquote, no matter that we would all be as stars to each other. Crazy that this, they are determined to resist.